Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2. We're continuing in our series on the book of Daniel. And today's scripture is the select verses from Daniel. We're sort of bouncing around here. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, turn to Daniel, chapter 2. It's about halfway through. We'll also have them on the screen as well. Hear now the word of God. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed such dreams that his spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. So the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had such a dream that my spirit is troubled by the desire to understand it." The Chaldean said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will reveal the interpretation." The king answered the Chaldeans, "This is a public decree. If you do not tell me both the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you do tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can reveal what the king demands. In fact, no king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king is asking is too difficult, and no one can reveal it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with mortals." Because of this, the king flew into a violent rage and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. The decree was issued, and the wise men were about to be executed. And they looked for Daniel and his companions to execute them. Then Daniel responded with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the king's chief executioner, who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He asked Arioch, the royal official, "Why is the decree of the king so urgent?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. So Daniel went in and requested that the king give him time, and he would tell the king the interpretation. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will give the king the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who can tell the king the interpretation." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or diviners can show to the king the mystery that the king is asking. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has disclosed to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen at the end of days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed were these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be hereafter, and the revealer of mysteries disclosed to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me because of any wisdom that I have more than any other living being. But in order that the interpretation may be known to the king and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. You were looking, O king, and lo, there was a great statue. This statue was huge, its brilliance extraordinary. It was standing before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of that statue was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middles and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked on, a stone was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken in pieces and became like the chaff of summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory, and to whose hand he has given human beings wherever they live, the wild animals of the field and the birds of the air, and whom he has established as ruler over them all, you are the head of gold. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall this kingdom be left to another people. It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain, not by hands, and that it was crushed, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has informed the king what shall be hereafter. This dream is certain, and its interpretation trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. He worshipped Daniel and commanded that a grain offering and incense be offered to him. The king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Almighty and all-gracious God, be with us in this time of worship. Speak to us on this day. May the offerings that we shared be multiplied to reach many people in many different ways. And may you, in this time of worship, reach out to us. Stir within us your Holy Spirit so that we may respond to this word and shine your light in all that we do. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Now, when you think about your favorite type of TV shows or movies, how many of you really like a good mystery? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. I confess, as a kid, I wasn't really into the mysteries as much as everybody else. These days, I think I am a little bit more. My husband, Brandon, is really into Sherlock, so I have watched a number of seasons of that over the past few years. I am totally obsessed with the show How to Get Away with Murder. I don't know if anybody else watches that, but it leaves you on this cliffhanger every week, and it feels like you just have to know more. Maybe you're compelled by this too. In the movies or in books, you read these things, and you're trying to piece these clues together and figure out what they all mean. You're wondering what these little clues will do, what they will reveal at the end. This type of revelation of mysteries is at the heart of our scripture lesson today. Whew, I know that was a long scripture from Daniel chapter 2, but it was an important one. You see, last week we left off at the end of Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel was called by God. He had been so faithful in the midst of this time of trial, and God blessed Daniel with the gift of being able to interpret visions and dreams. And as we left it last week, we didn't know what that would mean or why that would be so important. But as we look to today's scripture lesson, we do. King Nebuchadnezzar has had this wild and crazy dream, and he cannot get past it. It's almost haunting him, right? He has to know what this dream is about. And so he's looking out to this community of people, of magicians and enchanters, these people that should be able to interpret his dream. And he reaches out to them, and they're like, well, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means, right? But King Nebuchadnezzar wants more than that. He wants someone to be able to tell him his dream and exactly what it means. And I think Nebuchadnezzar's a little bit angry at this point. He really wants to know what's going on, and so he is out there looking for the right person. And Daniel hears of this violence that is happening among those who cannot interpret the dream. And so he goes forward to the king's court. And he says to them that there is a God of gods who can interpret this dream. That my God knows and my God has given me this gift. And so Daniel is there. He comes before Nebuchadnezzar and interprets this dream. He is able to tell the king exactly what he dreamt and exactly what that meant. See, Daniel is the one who is able to put these clues together. He's fitting these pieces of the puzzle together. The king hadn't been able to do this himself. He's the one who's sort of stuck in the middle of the episode or stuck on the cliffhanger, waiting for next week to come so he will learn a little bit more. The king feels like a lot of us, and Daniel comes in and puts these pieces together. And our scripture lesson today ends with King Nebuchadnezzar falling at the feet of Daniel and says to him that Daniel is one who reveals these mysteries. And Daniel says, I am not different than anyone else, that it is God who is working within me to reveal these to you. Revealing mysteries is an important part of our faith. Not just in this scripture lesson, but it's something that we as children of God go through together. Whether young or old, or anywhere in between, we as God's people come together each week in this worship space, and we participate in the revelation of mysteries. Next week, we will come together and share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. A time when we break bread and we share in the cup. A sacrament that we call a holy mystery. Because in this holy and mysterious way, God is revealing God's self to us. That somehow, some way, when we break this bread, when we share in this cup, when we engage in the prayer of great thanksgiving together, God is with us. We can't wrap our minds around it. We don't quite know how it all works. But a mystery is being revealed as grace and forgiveness and love and hope are revealed to us when we share in this ordinary bread and cup and share in this holy sacrament. And that's not the only type of mystery that we share here in the church. No matter how old you may be, you might still be wondering, how on earth is God three and one? Or is it three or one? How is God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all at the same time, right? How does this work? This is the great mystery that we are all a part of. There are many mysteries in our faith where we get these clues and we're not sure how we piece them all together, but we know deep within us that even if we haven't put all the pieces together yet, God is shaping and forming us so that we might be God's holy people. You see, this weekend we had a great event here, if you were able to be part of it, Friday night, our Fall Family Fun Fest. And you might think that a fall festival isn't the most revelatory time, right? What can God reveal as we are handing out some candy, right? Now, see, I think it's a great time because Halloween is my favorite holiday. I just think any holiday where you get to dress up and eat candy is a winner in my book. So to me, I think that's just a great time. But we do these things as a church, not just because we love our neighbors, not just because we want to reach out to our community, because we believe when we do these ordinary things, God might reveal something extraordinary through us. That when people who don't have a church home or are in a hopeless place and will come here and feel the joy and the strength of a community, that maybe, just maybe, something else will be revealed to them here. Maybe they would know and trust that there is a community who will support them even in trying times. That's why we do these ordinary things like fall festivals. It's why we host homeless families in Family Promise. So that, like Daniel said, God would use ordinary people like us. Daniel didn't do anything extraordinary. In fact, he attributed all that he did to God. He says, "I'm just an ordinary person, but it is God who is working within me." And I think for all of us, there are ways that maybe have not been fully revealed to us that God is working through us too, to reveal hope and peace and mercy and strength for the world. One of my favorite books is a book called Take This Bread. It's a book by Sarah Miles, who is an author who lives in San Francisco, California. It's a book that I read back when I was in seminary at Duke a few years back. And it is one that I have read over and over and over. You see, it's an unexpected book. Sarah Miles is a journalist. She used to be a journalist and used to work in Latin America. And she is someone for whom her life has had ups and downs and ups and downs. And she was never a Christian. And so it seems an unlikely candidate to write such a compelling book on faith. And this book is her memoir. And I don't want to reveal the whole thing to you because I think it should be required Christian reading for everybody. I have this book in such high regards. But what happens in the beginning of the book is Sarah tells this story. She had gone to a farmer's market. She was sort of in just an ordinary place. Didn't have a lot of hope. Didn't really know where to look for such hope. And was just going around through her day. And it was a Sunday morning, and she was leaving a farmer's market, and she walked by this church that she had walked by time and time before. And she'd never really gone to church. She didn't really know what it was all about. And she strolled into this Episcopal church, and she sang hymns, and she didn't really know what she was singing. And she engaged in the prayers, sort of just did what everyone else was doing, looked around her because she didn't know what to do. And she didn't know why she was there, really. She just sort of wandered right in. But she had this stirring in her heart that she felt like she needed to walk through those doors that day. And she did. And she participated in this worship service. And then it came time to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion, something she'd never done before, but something they did every week at this church. And so they came together, and she walked up, and she received this bread and wine. And somehow, some way, in this moment, she knew her life would be forever changed. Now, I think so many of us yearn for an experience like that, right? We want to have that joyful experience where we know that God is revealing something to us, And for most of us, it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen at the snap of a finger where we see the way that God is working. But for Sarah Miles, it did. And in the weeks and the months ahead, this practice of being fed by the God of abundance became so clear to her that her whole life changed. And she kept going back to this church week after week. She didn't know why. She didn't know what she was doing there. But she knew that something holy was happening when she came forward to receive. That when that bread was placed in her hands and she was being fed by a God of hope at a time when she felt so hopeless, she believed that something holy was being revealed to her. And she took it upon her life's mission, as somebody who needed fed so badly, to take that practice that happened right there and to share it with the world. And so the book goes on through a lot of different things, but you start to learn about something that became clear to her, that she needed to take part in this feeding too. And at her church, St. Gregory's, she started being involved in their food pantry, one like we have right here. Because she knew as God was feeding her, and as she was being shaped and formed, and as this Christian faith was being revealed to her, she knew that she could be used in a way to help that for others. Because she knew something instrumental was happening in the simple act of being fed. And so I want you to know that she is just an ordinary person like you and me, full of successes, full of failures. Her life had had ups and downs. But like Daniel and like Sarah, today's scripture reminds us that God uses ordinary people like you and me in so many different ways. Ways that we cannot even comprehend at this moment, but ways that may be revealed to us in the days, in the weeks, in the months, in the years ahead. And my hope and my prayer for us today is that we would open our hearts and open our minds to understand the ways that God might reveal something more for us. Ways that we can do a little bit more to share this faith in concrete and tangible ways with others whom we meet. Because like Sarah, and really like the king in this scripture lesson, there's so many of us out there whose heads are spinning, wondering what's next, feeling a little hopeless, needing a bit more when things are headed in the wrong direction. And you may not know in that moment how meaningful it is when you just simply offer a shoulder to cry on. Or you sit with a friend who is grieving. Or you just grab lunch with somebody new who's not sure what's next and just needs somebody to talk to. But in these unexpected ways, God can reveal to us ways that we might make a difference in the world. Even as we are putting these clues together in our own faith, trying to figure out these holy experiences that we are a part of, God is revealing things through each and every one of us that will shape the world for the better. So my hope and my prayer for us this week is that we will go out, that we will leave the walls of this space and carry forth this story, knowing that God uses ordinary people like us in extraordinary ways each and every day. Just like God would use ordinary bread and wine to shape for us a holy experience, God is using ordinary people and places and events to shape and form us. So this week, may we be a blessing to the world. May we find the ways that we can indeed make a difference. We may not know in that moment how giving out candy or providing an activity for Family Promise or taking an angel from the angel tree and purchasing a gift for someone in need In that moment, we may not know what's happening, but in my deepest hearts, in all of ours, I believe that God is revealing to us ways that we can love God and love our neighbors and change the world for the better. May we as God's people step into this faith, lead with our hands and our feet, and be open to the ways that God will reveal to us ways that we can change this world for the better each and every day. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for your servant Daniel, who was faithful to you and allowed himself to be an instrument of hope and peace. In the midst of the chaos around him, he calmed the king's heart and enabled him to see that a God who loves the world is something that could be known for him. So be with all of us who are also in the midst of such chaos, God. Reveal to us the ways that we can make a difference too. Shape and form us. Help us reach our neighbors. Help us to be your holy people and to receive when we need to receive as well. Be with us, O God. Reveal to us your great mysteries, and as we might be part of that revelation in the world. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.